I heard this comment. Christians are hypocrites, and I don't want to be associated with Christians. Have you ever heard of such a comment about Christians? Many non-Christians, they say that Christians are hypocrites. But why do people have such bitter comments about Christians sometimes? I think partially it's because we have become indifferent critics. With our head filled with Bible knowledge, we know what is right and we know what is wrong. But our faith in God stays at knowledge level, knowing what is right, knowing what is wrong. But we don't care to do anything about it. We continue to do what is wrong, and we not do what is right in God's eyes. That's why people who have heard something about the Bible, they will see our actions and see that that's not consistent. You say something, you say it this way, but you do it another way. That's why they call us hypocrites. When people are in need, sometimes we don't really care. To be true, we don't really care sometimes. And you might even say, I have needs too. Who is going to help me when I'm in need? So you take care of yourself, okay? Let me take care of myself first. Or we might be too busy having fun. Especially during the Thanksgiving holiday, some of you might be having so much fun, you might neglect those people who are in need around you. We might be pursuing our selfish goals. So that's why when we see people in need, we don't care. And they cry out, and as a result they become bitter to Christians and say that they are hypocrites. I found out that some of my non-Christian friends actually care more than some of my Christian friends. That's a sad reality. And sometimes by reading the news, I found out that some so-called Christians, they will say something stupid. Okay? They are even so-called Christian leaders. For example, one Christian leader said, God condemned. Or God curse America. So as a result, the non-Christians who expect that Christians will bless someone, but hearing someone saying that God would curse or condemn America, they're really upset. Although I believe God does discipline those who know. But to those who don't understand, you don't just publicly say that, right? If they don't understand, you don't have a chance to have a conversation with them. So not only do we look indifferent, sometimes we also look very stupid in non-Christians' eyes. Christians are indifferent and they're stupid. Some people have such comments, very extreme ones, if they have shared the gospel with people before. You encounter such people, especially in the academic field, at LSU, Southeastern, and other schools. Okay, they will despise Christians. If you understand what I am saying. According to Bonner Research Group, a reliable Christian research organization, she says, according to the research, regardless of its true character and intent, the Christian community is not known for love, nor for a life-transforming faith, explains the researcher. Outdated means of outreach, inappropriate assumptions about people's faith, and lack of passion for helping non-believers to receive God's love and acceptance are hindering the church from fulfilling its mandate. That's the Great Commission that Pastor Blake shared with us. The most important mission that God has given us through Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, that we go to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them everything that God has commanded us. Starting with reaching out to those people who have never heard of Jesus Christ before. But we often lack love. We often shut Jesus Christ inside the four walls of the church. As a result, those people never hear about the love of Jesus Christ. And we think that we are doing well. America has become one of the largest mission fields. Some of us will go to Taiwan, maybe if God guides us to, we might go to the Philippines and other third world countries. We think that these are the mission fields, correct? But America has also become the largest mission field because of the many people who have fallen away from God or who don't really trust God. So So if you want to share the gospel with people, the United States is where you can start with. But we have so much resources, we have so much teachings. So we have the potential to do good for God. But how can we do it? This coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. What's the best way to give thanks to God besides saying it? Thank you God. What is the best way in God's eyes for us to give thanks to God that will make God smile? Have you ever thought about that? Thanksgiving is not just a lip service. Today we'll learn how we can let Jesus shine in our lives through our love for Him, shown in our love for other people around us. If we do that, we'll let other people see the true Jesus of truth and love, and that will take away their prejudices towards Christians and towards Jesus Himself. We'll look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 3, and we'll learn what I just mentioned. We'll learn three things in our life that we can do that will help us to let Jesus shine in our lives through our love for Jesus Christ. Okay? To understand Hebrews chapter 13, 1 to 3 well, we must understand what is before this. If I have a training on Bible study, one of the things I'll teach is that to understand a specific passage, know what is before and after that. The Bible passages are never just let alone standing by itself, like one verse is one chapter. It's always in the context of a chapter, in the context of a book, and there was a book in the context of the whole Bible. So, but let's just look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 to verse 28, and understand why Hebrews chapter 13, 1 to 3 is teaching what we will learn later. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 to 28 reminds us that because God is holy and human beings are sinful, in the Old Testament, the Israelites, including Moses, approached God in fear because they were afraid that they might die physically and spiritually if God judged them immediately. God is holy. That means He's completely separate from sin. God hates sins. Sinful human beings coming to God, if their sins are not cleansed by God, they would die physically and spiritually. That's why there was such fear for God in the Israelites. But because what Jesus did for us, if you continue to read on from verse 18, the second paragraph in the NIV says that because of what Jesus did for us, dying for our sins, and whoever believes in Jesus Christ in the future will be able to celebrate, to worship God with the angels, holy angels in heaven together. That's a beautiful, joyful picture. It is a picture of joy and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is coming. Here we see a picture of thanksgiving in heaven. It's all because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Without Jesus Christ, we are still living in fear for God. But this doesn't mean that we should no longer fear God. Some of us, it's good, you have treated Jesus Christ as your friend, as your buddy. But let me also remind you, Jesus Christ, our God, is still God. He created us. He is still holy, although God will not judge us. When we trust in Jesus Christ, God will see in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, taking upon Himself our sins, see us as holy, sinners. But if we still sin, it really will grieve and make God sad. And also remember, the Bible mentions that God will judge Christians as well. At the end time, God will also judge Christians. It is not a judgment that will result in eternal death, but it will be a judgment that will result in whether you will receive a reward to be able to rule with God in heaven forever, to be able to share God's glory and honor together. But those who do not follow God faithfully, they will not reward that. They will not be rewarded. I believe believers should still fear God. If you fear God, it is not just fear now we have. It should also be mixed with an attitude of thanksgiving and also love for God because of what God did for us. Now when we approach God, yes, we should have fear for God. We should still have fear for God. But we should also be thankful. We should also experience a sense of love from God through Jesus Christ. So now the New Testament Christians' approach to God is deeper than the Old Testament's simple fear towards God. And it is all because of what Jesus Christ did for us. If you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 to 29, it summarizes what I just said well. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. God is still the judge. But we should be thankful for what He did to us, for us, through Jesus Christ. What is the night of thanksgiving and love? Night. It's not just expressing our thanksgiving by our lips in words, in church meetings, but also outside of the church, in our daily acts of love to everyone around us so that they can see in us our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll no longer say Christians are hypocrites. And they'll open their heart to God's love, and they can all also be saved. You see how important it is for us to live a consistent life instead of a hypocritical life. If we do this, we'll let Jesus shine in our lives. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 3 now tells us three things that we can do in our lives to let Jesus shine through our love for Him. I really love a song that I learned before. Shine, Jesus, shine. I've sung that song before. That's why I give this the title of this sermon. I think it will really help you to see that it is through our love for God, our thankfulness to God through Jesus Christ, that we can let Jesus shine, to let people see God. That's the purpose of the three things that we will do. Okay, first, the first thing that we should do is to love fellow Christians you know. Love Christians that you know. Okay, you know they have trusted Christ to be saved, and you love them first, someone you know who is a Christian. Verse 1 in Hebrews chapter 13 says that, keep on. Don't stop loving each other as brothers. Keep on loving each other as brothers. The New Testament is filled with the command to love the brothers. Actually, to love the brothers was an idiom for fellow believers. Brothers is used in the place of fellow believers. So whenever you see brothers, it's talking about believers. If you read the Greek, sometimes I read the Greek text. In Greek, literally, it says that the brotherly love, in Greek, brotherly love is Philadelphia. So that's the meaning of Philadelphia. The name of the city means brotherly love. The brotherly love, it says that, let us continue. So keep on loving each other as brothers. Continue the brotherly love. Don't stop the brotherly love we have for the believers first in the church. In Chicago a few years ago, there was a little boy who attended a Sunday school. When his parents moved to another area in the city that was farther away from the church that the little boy went to Sunday school, But the little fellow still attended the same Sunday school in the same church, and every time he attended Sunday school, he had to walk for such a long distance. It would take such a long time to get there. It was a tiresome walk each way. And then a friend asked, "Why you went so far to come to this church for this Sunday school, while there were plenty of others just as good, and they are nearer to your home?" These people don't understand. But the boy said, "They may be as good, they may be as good for others, but not for me." That was his answer. And then the person who asked the question continued to ask, "Why not? Why is other churches not as good as this one for you?" And he said, "Because in this church, the people there are not a fellow. In this church, the people there loves me." It's because of the love that he experienced that there that continued to draw him to go back to the church, to experience the love of the people. Actually, it's from God, because those people love God. How do we practice this love, brotherly love in our lives? How do we practice it? When we come to how to apply it, most Christians will just stop there, right there. They don't continue to think about how to do it and actually do it. And we have wasted God's precious word. And one strength I found, that one passion that God has given me, is that I see the value of applying God's word besides understanding God's word. Knowledge without action in doing word humbly will only result in pride. Because the Bible says so, knowledge without fear of God will only increase your pride, thinking that you're good, and yet it makes you more like a Pharisee, a hypocrite, a person who knows enough knowledge about the Bible. I suggest that we can start practicing love of believers by looking around to see who has a need in the church. First, in the English ministry, who has a need here? Do you know that? And let's talk to the members in the English ministry. We don't know first. If I ask any one of you stand up here, can you call everybody's name here? I bet some of you don't really know some of the members here. Okay? If you don't even know your brothers and sisters, how can you help them? So start by knowing your brothers and sisters first. Find out their need after you have known that person by name, and then see how you can help to meet that need. Another thing I would suggest is that give a ride to those middle schoolers and high schoolers who don't have a ride to church. They don't have a ride to go back home. And you have a car. That's the simplest act of kindness that you can do to someone here, to show your brotherly love. On Friday nights, I'll give rides to some middle schoolers and high schoolers, even college students who don't have a car, two or three sometimes. On Sunday in the afternoon, I'll give rides to some other teenagers who don't have a car. But I am just one person with one car. I can only provide rides for so many people. But there are, I believe, still some who are not in church because they cannot come to church because they don't have a ride, their parents are not Christians, they don't see the value of coming to church to worship God and learn from God's word, and they don't make an effort to provide a ride for the kids. What we can do is, if we know such a person, we can offer to help in this way, practically. Don't just talk about love. Love is not just about lip service, it's about action of kindness to someone who is in need. Some of us have not seen some members for a while. One thing we can do is to give a phone call to that person you have not seen for a while. I think even better, if you have not seen one person for 1 week or 2 weeks, give that person a phone call. Some of you will say, "What if everybody gives that person a phone call? Wouldn't that person be overwhelmed?" I don't think that person would mind to be cared by more people. I think what would offend people is that one or two weeks, because of some reasons, they're not coming to church. Nobody knows, nobody cares, nobody even gets a phone call. Even if I can do everything to everyone here, I don't think someone would stay in church simply because the minister cares for the member, but other members in the church would treat that person as invisible. People come to a community of Christ of love, not just come to the minister of love, but to the community of love. Remember last time Pastor Blake talked about baptizing. It is about baptizing into the body of Christ, into a community. Once you are baptized, you are no longer by yourself. You are in the body of Christ. You are always connected with other Christians. And we should make sure that other Christians are connected with the body of Christ by doing what I just suggested. Some of you really don't feel comfortable calling people. I'm a very shy person, if you don't know. But I found out that with Facebook, it makes it much easier. Right? I mean, most of you are in Facebook. If you don't understand, you don't know what I'm talking about, what is Facebook? Then talk to me, talk to your neighbor, most of us. But in Facebook, the virtual online community helps to connect your friends together and makes it so easy for you to know how that person is doing. Sometimes I take a break and look at how my friends are doing, and when I see that they are in trouble, I will send a word of comfort, of encouragement. Sometimes I offer some practical suggestions to solve a problem. There was one time a friend of mine through Facebook said, I just broke my laptop monitor because I held my laptop like this way, holding the screen, and then boom, it broke the laptop monitor. And then I suggested practical ways to help her to fix that. I said, yeah, there are ways for you to fix it. And then I also connected her with another friend who was a computer engineer, and he was very good with computers. And he found out ways to buy a replacement monitor very cheap. So, and she was so appreciative of that. So simply because I observed when people were happy, of course I'll be happy for them. Birthday time, happy birthday. But there are also times that people would share their trouble in Facebook. That's the power of Facebook, for you to be connected with friends, to care for your friends. If you're not in Facebook, let me know. I'll help you get in there. Okay? So although you need to exercise self-control, sometimes you might spend so much time in Facebook that you don't have time to study, and that is no good, right? Okay. So the second thing that we can do to let Jesus shine in our lives is to show hospitality to someone you don't know. First, we show brotherly love to the Christian brothers and sisters, the believers that we know. Now, we show hospitality to someone we don't know. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 2 says that, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some people have entertained angels without knowing it. The word entertain strangers is one word in Greek. And what it means is that you treat a stranger nobly and joyfully in one's home, in the home. Provide that person a place to live. If that person is traveling, no place to live, and seeking to bring that person what he or she needs to refresh that person physically and mentally, maybe even spiritually. Because in the ancient world, in Rome, in the Roman Empire, it was very expensive to stay overnight in an inn or in a hotel. I think it's still quite expensive, even now, to stay in a hotel. Some of you, if you're students, if you visit your friend, and if that friend cannot provide you a place to live, you have to pay at least, I think, $40-$50 to stay in a cheap hotel. Okay, that's still a lot of money for some of you. If you have stayed for 3 or 4, even a week, okay, that's a lot of money. Okay, that's why here, the author of Hebrews asked the Hebrew believers to entertain strangers. to practice hospitality to someone they did not know. And that's something that we can also practice. But what does it mean by saying, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it? You know where in the Old Testament, someone by entertaining, showing hospitality to strangers actually entertains angels? First, who was that person? What's the name of that person? Abraham, right? So thanks to your Sunday school teachers, they taught you well. And do you know where in the Bible was that mentioned? That's a simple, quick question. Where was Abraham mentioned in the Old Testament? Okay, Genesis, no? If you open your Bible to Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 to verse 10, you will see how Abraham entertained strangers who turned out to be God and two angels of God. Look at how Abraham nobly and joyfully entertained and served his stranger guests. Genesis chapter 18, verse 3 to 5. Abraham invited them in to wash and to refresh themselves. Verse 6 to verse 8. Abraham prepared a calf, bread, butter, and milk for their needs, for their entertainment. And Abraham served them personally, himself. Abraham was a very rich man at that time. And he served these strangers as if they were his masters, and he was their servant. What a good example of hospitality and humility. Now if you go to Genesis chapter 19, now we have seen a good example of hospitality. And we will see bad example of hospitality. After the angels and God himself visited Abraham, being treated hospitably, God himself left first. And then the two angels continued on their trip to Abraham's nephew, Lot, the place that Lot stayed in, that Sodom. And when they went there, you will see how horribly the people in Sodom treated the two angels. Such a big contrast to how Abraham treated the God and the two angels, and they appeared as human beings. So, chapter 19, verse 4 to 5. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, the nephew of Abraham, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." Wow. These young and old men wanted to have sex with two men. I mean, that's recorded in the Bible, okay? I'm not exaggerating or saying what is not there. Homosexual raping was already existent, even in ancient times. So don't be surprised that now in California, the homosexual people are fighting for same-sex marriage and their rights to do all kinds of things that would make them illegal to practice homosexuality. Look at Genesis 19:45. Then Lot tried to stop them. Lot was also a very hospitable man. So he tried to stop these horrible men from treating his guests this way. But what did the Sodomites do to Lot when Lot tried to stop them? Verse 9. "Get out of our way," they replied, and they said, "This fellow came here as an alien," talking about Lot, "and now he wants to play the judge? We will treat you worse than them." Wow, even worse than them. What would that be? Homosexually raping someone, and there's something that's even worse than that. They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. It's horrible. It's like a band of gangsters outside your house, trying to get into your house to to rape you and to hurt you violently. Being willing to entertain strangers in need is a real test of our love and fear of God. Abraham loved God, feared God, that's why he entertained even strangers. And the people in Sodom, they did not fear God. They did not love God. As a result, they acted in such a wicked way, horrible way. But what happened to them? People in Sodom and also the neighboring city, Gomorrah, people there were as evil as people in Sodom. Same chapter, Genesis chapter 19, verse 24 to 26. It's really alarming to see if we don't fear God, don't show hospitality to people. In the Old Testament, it was such a big warning there. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the north out of the heavens. Thus, he overthrew or destroyed those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Of course, the angels already commanded her not to look back, not to miss such an evil place. But she still looked back. She didn't obey, and that's what happened to her. Indeed, what God says would be fulfilled. But what happened to Abraham, who entertained strangers nobly, joyfully, and personally? He was blessed by God, and all the peoples on earth were blessed by God, including us, through Jesus, the promised Savior of mankind through Abraham. All because Abraham was willing to treat strangers hospitably, and because of his fear for God and his faith in God. One way for you to show hospitality to strangers is to talk to the new visitors to our English ministry, and those who are very quiet, those who are left out, those people who are very shy. They feel uncomfortable talking to people, so as a result, they cannot join a conversation and they're left alone in a corner, always, even if you see a big crowd of people, but they're left alone, left out. We always see left out members in the church, in school, and at work. Actually, that's the opportunity for you to show hospitality, show your true love and care in action by first talking to them and find out about that person's needs, and then see if you can meet that person's needs or help or get someone else to help. Another thing that you can do is after worship service, during lunch, you guys will be having so much fun, have fellowshipping, having a wonderful conversation. During the conversation, take a short break, 1 or 2 seconds, and just look around, see if there's anyone that's out of your wonderful, fun conversation, good fellowship. And then invite that person over. Join us. We have a wonderful time of fellowship conversation. Join us. If that person still is too shy, can just talk to that person one-on-one. That's the best way to care for someone. God gave me this sensitivity to strangers because I had always been an introvert. When I was growing up, I did not know how to express myself in words. You know what my nickname was in middle school and high school? Nobody knows. Let me tell you. Those friends who know me will know that. Even some of Nina's relatives know that. My nickname in middle school and high school was Rambo. And I found out that Rambo also is called Johnny in the movie First Blood. Maybe you guys don't even know who is Sylvester Stallone. But I was born, grew up in the period that First Blood was the most popular movie at that time. He was like the most popular, world famous action hero at that time. And people called me Rambo because they were so impressed by the movie. And I was the strongest guy in my grade. Okay, I was always doing arm wrestling and I was always the winner. Okay, but I was very quiet. I was like Rambo in the movie. Quiet, lonely, because I didn't know how to express myself. I went to Hong Kong, I didn't know how to speak Cantonese. So how could I even communicate with people if I don't know the language well? Right, so besides, I was a very shy, introverted person. I could just say nothing for a whole day. I would just sit in the corner, memorizing words in the dictionary, or doing my homework. That's why I did well academically. Yeah, because of that. But I always felt left out and lonely myself. But after I become a Christian, after I come to the United States, I was so thankful for God's love for me. I took every opportunity to share with people God's love and the gospel with people. Whenever I had a chance to meet strangers, I'll share with them how I experienced God's love through Jesus Christ. I share with them the gospel when I had a chance. Through relying on God, I was able to share the gospel with people. I was able to experience God's awesome power in converting people to becoming Christians. Not because of my words. Of course, I explained the gospel clearly. But because of God's power, and I believe when I showed care and love to these people, they also sense that. That's why I have earned their listening ears. Through sharing the gospel with people, God has helped me to improve my communication skills. Now I'm a little better than before, okay? Some of you might actually think that, Minister Tan is an outgoing guy, always have a smile on his face, and he's definitely not a shy guy. But that's who I was before. It was God who changed me, transformed me. So that's why I am forever thankful to God for changing even something that's inside of me that seems impossible to change. When I was in high school, I was always shy, but there was a Christian teacher. She said, trust in Jesus Christ, she will be able to help you, to change you. Because she also saw someone who was so shy, introverted, withdrawn within him or herself, and then became a Christian, and then was open to share with other people God's love as well. Actually, it was through my consistent sensitivity to strangers that helped me meet my wife Nina, who is a very quiet woman, in some way introverted like me. When she first visited my church in California, while my friend and I were enjoying a wonderful conversation, I suddenly noticed a stranger, Nina, about three rows behind us, the group that was having a wonderful conversation. So I excused myself from my friends, and I walked to her, and I simply said, "Hello, how are you? I'm Johnny. What's your name? Where are you from?" And then I also brought her to my friend to join the conversation. And Nina sometimes still mentions about this to me. This is like a sweet memory of hers that she cherishes always and appreciates a lot. Simply because when she was left alone, nobody seemed to care. There was someone who was Johnny to care for her. And that made such a big difference. I never expected one simple act of kindness to a stranger would bring me a lifelong blessing of having a wife better than anything of my dreams. She has become my lover, my best friend, my helper, my advisor, and my comrade to fight through many challenges in life over the past 10 years that we were together, from California to Texas to Louisiana. So show hospitality to someone today, and better, not just today, every day. And I guarantee you will also be greatly blessed by God, just like Abraham. And I also learned to practice hospitality and was blessed as well. The third thing that you can do to let Jesus shine in your life and help other people to know Jesus Christ is to minister to those in prison and to those who are mistreated. According to verse 3, Hebrews chapter 13, it says that, remember those in prison, as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who were mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Prisoners were not treated very well in the first century. Often they had to depend on their friends and family members to provide for even the most basic necessities of their life in prison. But I think even today, people who are in prison, their life is not good at all. They have many needs as well. And we can be the channel of love to them through our love for God. To remember, here it means remember those in prison. Remember means keep present in your mind, in your thoughts, always thinking about them. And it even says that as if you were also their fellow prisoners, as if you were right there in the prison, looking at them and keeping them in your mind. Remember them. I think Christians can also minister to those in prison. That's another goal I have set for myself in this coming year. I want to visit someone in the prison in Baton Rouge. I don't know where the prisons are, but I'm going to do some research. And I know many people have become Christians in prison because some people who are Christians who are loving are willing to visit them, show God's love to them, share the gospel with them, and continue to teach them, disciple them through God's word. And if you say, oh, here he's talking about believers who have become a fellow prisoners, we can at least minister to those believers who are in the prison. And then maybe even share the gospel with those who are not believers in the prison yet. But we should also extend such love to those suffering mistreatment, not just those in prison, but those who are suffering, those who are being suppressed in the society because of their social status, economic status, the poor people. They are everywhere, especially when the economy is bad now. Many people are losing their jobs. They are in fear. They'll become poor. If we don't show their love to God's love to them, they will feel so bitter about Christians. They say, oh, Christians, they're supposed to love us, but why don't I see any Christian coming to help me? And some of them, being in desperate need, might go to commit a crime. So if we lend a hand to someone in need, it might avoid us trouble when someone commits a crime. Church should not be a group of hypocrites. That's the last place for hypocrites. Hypocrites like Pharisees, Jesus rebuked often when he was teaching. Because they had the knowledge to do everything right, they know what was wrong, but they did not do it. They did not love God. As a result, they did not love people. The root people, the root problem for not loving people is not loving God. If you say you love God but you don't love people, the Bible says that you are lying, you are a liar. You have committed another sin. So let's try to reveal how much time we are willing to spend on many church or Bible related activities on Sundays or Fridays or other days of the week. Going to retreats, hanging out with our Christian friends, buddies. How much time per week? How many hours? Probably about 10 hours. Okay. Let's reveal how much time we're willing to spend on actually doing something in action to express our love for someone in church we know, a stranger we don't know, and those in prison or mistreated in our community. I bet if you spend 1 hour per week, then that's pretty good. Some of us maybe are not even spending 1 hour per month. So that's maybe just 10 hours, about 10 hours a year. But you have spent 10 hours a week doing all kinds of activities, programs in church. 52 weeks, 520 hours per year for all the programs, but only 10 hours for those who are actually in need, or even less. I think this is very sad if that's your situation. I'm sure God will feel sad about our situation if that's your situation as well. Let's start from today. I hate procrastinate doing the right thing, the good thing. I always say tomorrow. Because tomorrow, you can say tomorrow is always tomorrow. That means you're not going to do anything about it. Let's start from today. After lunch at 2 p.m., after the Chinese choir practice, after the evangelism training, I'm going to form groups of three. Maybe they might just be one group, at least I will be there. I know one of you will be there, but I also need a sister. We'll be going in groups of three. I want there to be a sister because it will be less threatening when we go knock on the doors of our neighbors and we'll say Happy Thanksgiving. I have a very beautiful Thanksgiving text that talks about who we should give thanks to. I think it will inspire people who don't trust in God, and it shares the gospel clearly through that Thanksgiving gospel tract. And I will say, we are Christians from Chinese Christian Church of Baton Rouge, we are your neighbors, and we want to share a Thanksgiving gift to you through this gospel, through this tract. Besides, we also want to see how we can practically share God's love with you. We can help to mow lawns, clean toilets, the kitchens, vacuum carpets, anything we can do to help you out. If it is not a good time today, we can come back later because we are planning to do it every month as part of our community service to show God's love. So we will start today. And even if nobody else is going, I'm going with maybe just a few who are willing to go. We have neighbors here for a long time, we don't even know them. That's ridiculous. In those Asian communities, neighbors know each other. Neighbors are the ones they seek help when they are in trouble. Okay? Chinese says that 远亲不及近邻, and here we don't even know who our neighbors are. So Christians, as Christians, let's love our neighbors. Jesus Christ commanded that. Start with our neighbors, and they will go to father places in Baton Rouge. We'll go to prisons, and we'll also go to some other countries where there are poor people, needy people, who need God's love through Jesus Christ. And that's what we will do, starting from me. Okay? Jesus came down from heaven to earth, and we are only asked to go next door, not from heaven to earth. And are we willing to do that? Let's pray. Ask God to help us, because by our nature, we are often not willing to do what is good in God's eyes. So God help us. Let's pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ's love. That's the most important reason that we should give thanks during this Thanksgiving season. But our love, that the love that we have received from you should not just stop inside the walls of the church. It is your will that we go share your love with others and let people know who you really are. You are a God of love and of truth, not just of knowledge alone. But we know we sometimes are scared of talking to strangers, even brothers and sisters in church we don't know. We are often concerned by ourselves, concerned for our own needs most of the time, but we are not willing to reach out to care for others. So God, help us overcome this fear, this limitation of ours and our own comfort zone, to be willing to really show what a Christian is really like, not a hypocrite. Help us to be able to love our Christian brothers and sisters, love those strangers with hospitality, and also the prisoners and those who are in suffering. May we be blessed when we are willing to obey you. May we never be like those people in Sodom and Gomorrah who were judged severely by God because of their lack of love for God and for people. My prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen.